go to the phone line and join Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon, one of the more progressive governors, in my opinion, and we're going to find out today why that is. How are you doing today there, Mr. Mark Gordon?
Doing well, Jason. Good to hear you, and look forward to maybe seeing you this summer, too.
In fact, yeah, we should go ahead and mention the energy exposition this summer. I was just going through a little bit of some prep work, and, you know, I hate to put you on the spot like this, but you went ahead and you mentioned it. So we are going to be doing an ESG kind of an educational seminar and a few other things. So if there's anybody from the government that we could certainly have on the panel, boy, we'd certainly appreciate it. So I'll just put that in your hopper a little bit, and if there's anybody that you can send there, that'd be great. We've got somebody from banking there. We've got somebody from on the oil and gas side, and that's where we'll transition to next, because I'm in Oklahoma today. Just got done meeting with one of the major operators yesterday. That is going to be, well, that is, they're in Wyoming, and I don't need to mention their names. If you wanted to comment on ESG, you certainly can, but that's not what this phone call's about. Of course, it probably is at the end of the day, but that's a different story for a different day. Anyway, how's things going there? Let's talk a little oil and gas and what we can get going to fill this world energy void, sir.
Well, you know, and Jason, I think we touched on it a little bit last time we visited, but certainly right now, the point is not lost, shouldn't be lost on anyone. That, you know, here in this country, we do a better job, a safer job, and a more environmentally safe job of producing oil and gas than anywhere else in the world. And that's the irony when the world is needing oil to be able to keep Europe going, to be able to really fight off this Russian invasion that we're seeing in the Ukraine, that this administration is out asking adversaries, you know, places like Venezuela, good heavens, that's one of the toughest places to produce. They certainly don't have a good environmental record, and we're going to ask them to give us oil when we've got stuff in North Dakota and here in Wyoming that is idle on the sidelines. And I know this administration will say, well, there's lots of APDs, but you know, one of the biggest problems is if you have no runway, it's hard to begin to think about how you're going to develop these resources.
How about when it comes to some of the other mining and minerals that you've got in Wyoming, whether it be natural gas? I know uranium has been in the news lately, big Russian influence there and everything. Talk to me about some of the other mining industry applications.
Oh my gosh! No, you're absolutely right. You know, of course, one of the most one of the most prevalent sources of energy is obviously coal. We can burn that in a better way, in more technologically efficient way. Wyoming's done a lot with carbon capture and sequestration. We'll work on that. Uranium, obviously, Wyoming's one of the largest producers of uranium, critical mineral for powering our nation, actually our nuclear fleet as well. And we've been totally dependent on what is this almost dumped uranium from Russia for a number of years. We need to get that industry up and running. And I think finally America is coming to grips with the fact that we've surrendered a lot of our own development of these minerals to places like China for rare earths and critical minerals, and Russia. We in Wyoming here just passed a budget, and part of that is going to be about looking at what opportunities we can see for critical minerals, rare earth minerals, and that would include more uranium, that would include really being able to build up our own rare earth mining here in the state.
I started the phone conversation by calling you one of the more progressive governors, and I truly do mean that. And part of it's a little bit tongue in cheek, because I used to joke a little bit that the Tea Party was progressive in Wyoming, because Wyoming's considered a pretty conservative state. So of course, coming in with, hey, here's a progressive governor, Mark Gordon, boy, you really catch some attention there. But you start talking about rare earth minerals, you start talking about this administration literally turning its back on American energy independence. having to have your allies become dependent on your adversary so that your poor and middle class can have their homes heated. I'm sorry, but I think we're getting to the time now where we can literally say the Democratic Party has really lost its way with its humanitarian ways. They used to be the stereotype for the humanitarian way of life, but you start talking about rare earth minerals, now you're talking about some third world country gorillas holding children at gunpoint, mining rare earth minerals here in the United States, here in Canada, and I'd even go as far as to say some parts of modernized Mexico. We've got regulations in place that make, it's like comparing a Model T to a jet fighter plane. We're the jet fighter plane. And some of these other places that we're starting to rely on, they're the Model T. All right, I'll step off my soapbox and let you kind of see whatever direction you want to go with that one.
Well, I didn't know exactly what you meant by progressive, but, the way I would take it, being a conservative, isn't in the sense of sort of a more liberal kind of notion, because I think Wyoming here, we want to have people working, we want to have people producing energy. It's something we've talked about over and over again. Why in the world, when we could sell energy to our friends, are we relying on our adversaries, to your point, and asking to buy energy from them? It makes no sense whatsoever. And that in fact was part of my state of the state. But I will say that and ESG is a little bit of a piece of this. And I've stood shoulder to shoulder with states like Alaska and Oklahoma. Kevin Stitt and I actually both talking about our really good environmental record, both producers of energy and because we're, I would guess the word might be a little bit progressive. Wyoming, for example, was the first state to really have a good system to protect the sage grouse. We're the first state that really talked about carbon sequestration and built force-facing legislation around that. North Dakota and Wyoming are the two states that have primacy on that. And we're really looking at trying to figure out ways that we can solve the climate solution by providing a place that people can innovate, as opposed to trying to figure out how we're going to stop people from doing anything by regulating them. This sort of banana development, build absolutely nothing anywhere near anybody, is just going to drive us to a point where we're really going to be in trouble as a nation. We have the opportunity, we have the tools, and we have the free market that can really solve these very big issues that are facing our country, and we need to get off the pot and start working that direction.
Governor Mark Gordon is our guest. Just two questions left here for the governor as I'm taking a look at the clock. Appreciate his time today. Wyoming has really been talking about an all-of-the-above energy policy for as long as I've been covering industry, oil and gas, with the crude life. In fact, former Governor Mead, I remember interviewing him in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, at one of the summits about some of the energy policy. You took over that position. Wind was a big part of it. Now, I've been pretty upfront about my feelings on wind, but those are my feelings. And we're still, when we talk about all the energy above, we have to take a look at all the above energy. We talked about coal. We talked about uranium. We talked about some of the others. You guys have been pretty progressive or aggressive or open-minded when it comes to wind energy. Can we get an update there?
Sure. Well, yeah, Wyoming will be home to the second largest wind development in the world. The first is in China, sadly, but our Sierra Madre Chokecherry project, which is going to come online in the next few years, is by far the largest wind farm in the country. Wyoming has premium wind, and we really are seeing a build-out on that. It will be a contributor and an important contributor to the nation's energy. But no, there is no energy source, and this is what drives me a little bit nuts when we talk about ESG, because to some degree, the environment piece of the ESG is something somebody somewhere else has decided, oh, this is good and that is bad. And when they say, you know, wind is good, there's a lot of value to wind. But here's the problem. The landscape that is affected by wind development will never be different. And people in Wyoming are beginning to understand that those great western skies, those vistas that they were accustomed to, there's a cost. And there's a cost in the carbon that's sunk into wind development, in the concrete, in the tower, and everything else. And then there's the wind blades that have to be disposed of. None of these things are insurmountable, but they all are problems. There is no, you know, easy choice. And when we look at what we can do with oil and gas, when we look at the contribution that oil and gas has given to Wyoming in terms of the research on wildlife species, you know, we can boast that we're the first state in the country that has recognized the value of wildlife corridors by respecting private property, and we couldn't have done that without oil and gas. So I think ESG really, it's about honesty. When Kevin Stitt and I were down in Oklahoma not long ago, we were talking about all of the above energy approach and be honest about what the consequences are.
Wrapping up, just to summarize once again kind of the meat and potatoes of the conversation with the Russian energy supply and how Wyoming either is impacted or can contribute to it. Just kind of a state of the union, state of a governor for Wyoming, what we could expect over, you know, the next 12 months with some of the volatility that's happening right now in the world.
Well, it's nice to see the prices come up a little bit. I feel that this probably means to the average American that we need to have domestic production. We need to have supply right here at home. That's not going to be interrupted by major world events. It is just absolutely unconscionable to me that at this very moment, where Russia is able to put a stranglehold on Europe with their gas and with their oil, that America can't step into that breach and supply our European neighbors and allies with the energy they need. And this narrow-minded, very short-sighted approach that we're going to drive to all renewable energy without taking an all-of-the-above energy approach and seeing the consequences of that this administration wouldn't back off and allow some leasing to happen. Frankly, we do it better than anywhere else in the world. It's time we let Americans do what they know how.
Appreciate the time today, Governor. Looking forward to see you at the Energy Expo in June.
It'll be great, Jason. Take care and give my best to Governor Stitt.